Shus the Rosh HaKol, Chavre HaKol. I guess expectation is when you get up and speak in the month of El, to speak about the Inyanim of Tshuva and preparation for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Narom. And the truth of the matter is, this year in particular, it's very challenging because of the way the calendar falls out. Many people are still in the midst of their summer vacation. And, you know, it's sort of, when you hear the show if you're on vacation, it's not quite the same as it is in the rest of the year. And it's a challenging time in general. It sort of doesn't feel like El. It just doesn't feel like it. So to that end, I think we have to try extra hard to mechazik ourselves, galvanize a little bit, to try to pull it together so that when Rosh Hashanah comes, we don't get caught unprepared. The great challenge of El in general is already, not just this year, it goes back many, many, many years. We find in the Or Yisrael, Yisrael Salanta writes in the 14th letter, he bemoans the fact that he says he heard and perhaps experienced himself that there was a time when even when people just mentioned the word El, the month of El was coming, so people were gripped with trepidation. And Reb Yisrael, writing in the second part of the 19th century, writes that it's already, things have changed. You know, this is more than 100 years ago he was writing this, that things have changed and we don't find this anymore. And he says that, he gives basically two reasons. He says here, Siba says, Chalfas HaLazeh, he says there are two basic reasons for this. He says one of them is what he calls a Siba Gashmi. One of them is a practical reason. The practical reason is the fact that there is hergel, that a person gets used to going in a certain way. It's very hard to change. It's very hard for any person to change, but it's all the more difficult when you don't really see a need to change. And when a person is used to doing things in a certain way, it's very hard to see that. It's very, very difficult. Right, there's a koach hergel, there's a tremendous force of habit that somehow pulls at a person. I guess it was always that way, that's not a chiddush, but I guess in the earlier generations people had the ability, the greater ability to overcome it. But we know, for example, the Gemara says that kivin shechata adam v'shana, that a person did an aveira and then he repeated the aveira a second time. So the Gemara says it's nasis lo keheter, that it already becomes by him that what he did wrong is already permissible. Because the first time he did it, he may have felt guilty. But the second time already, once he did it a second time, it's nasis keheter. And it's well known in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that someone once asked him, and what happens when you do it a third time? So he said, when you do it a third time, it becomes a mitzvah. In other words, the third time right now, it's mamish, this is the right thing to do. And this is what we find. We get caught up in our ways. Everybody knows this is the challenge, really, when it comes to El, because you don't know what should I be looking at. You know, there are certain things that a person says, okay, I could do this mitzvah a little better, I could do that mitzvah a little better. But what about overall? What about where do I stand overall? So it's very hard to see, you know, because we get used to doing things a certain way. Everyone's busy. Today, the challenges of the world today are one of the greatest is the fact that with all the technology, so the world goes on a 24-hour busy day. You could be busy the same 10 o'clock at night as you were at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, if you look in the Chazal, until, you know, I say to the chevr in the yeshiva sometimes, I say, if you want to know, you know, who changed the world, who from, let's say, from the Goyim in the recent Kufis, who had the greatest impact on the world? I say that Thomas Edison changed the world completely, because there used to be Yom and Laila, right? The Chazal say that the Pasuk in Eicha, Kumi Roni Balaila, right? Ein Rina El Torah, that the Limud HaTorah was big at night. People would come in at night to learn. That's because in the old world, before electricity, so you couldn't do anything productive already. The work day ended at a certain time. The workday, everybody got up early, bright and early in the morning, right? There was no such thing as 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, minyan. It was unheard of such a thing because you couldn't lose the daylight. You couldn't afford to lose the daylight. You had to get up at the crack of dawn. You worked until it got dark, and then that was it. The world went dark. When the world went dark, what was there to do? So a yid would come at night and sit down to learn, and that's what he did. There was nothing else. But today, you could do business all hours. It's a global economy. You could be doing business all over the world. You could be busy 2 o'clock in the morning. There are people living in Eretz Yisrael do business in America, and people live in America do business overseas. It's a tremendous challenge because we're so busy that a person does not even have the ability to see, to make a self-audit. Where do I stand? So this is where Rabbi Yisrael says that the first reason why the world has changed, he says the one reason why we don't take it to heart anymore, the whole Inyan of El, he says, is because of the fact that practically speaking, you get used to doing things a certain way, you can't change it. And then he says the second thing he calls Bechina Ruchnis, he says from more of a spiritual, from a mystical standpoint, the Gemara says that Averis and Metantimus Halev, the Chazal say that Al Titam Bechalel of Nitmesim Bam, that Averis and Metantimus Halev, that there is a Koach HaTumah that comes in a person does the wrong thing, so in a spiritual sense, it becomes harder for him to see what the right thing is to do. There's like a block, there's a spiritual, mystical block that comes over a person. So being that we live especially in our times, in a world which has gone mad, essentially, in the terms of the way people conduct their private lives, their personal lives, you see, just walking in the street, you see things, you feel like just, you don't even know where hole to crawl into. So the fact of the matter is that in such a world, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. So therefore, we have Elul, and we know, you know, Yom and Aram are coming, and we know that Elul, everybody, you know, the truth of the matter is the Stamazai, that Bismanenu already for many, many generations, the correct, the Kabbalah that we have, I remember I used to hear Mereshiv Zatzal used to say all the time, in the name of the Alta Slabotka, used to say that the main koach of Elul is that a person should focus on how much good he received from the Ribbono Shel Olam over his lifetime. Used to be there was a time when you had Bali Musa would come and give fire and brimstone speeches and try to scare everybody into changing. And they reached a point in the already also quite a few years ago that it didn't work. People couldn't handle it anymore. They would hear it and they would get depressed. Person would hear, oh, it's going to be on the run, oh my God, this and that. So of course there's a place for those things, but it Lamaisa, very often it becomes depressing. Today, especially, where we're very fragile, a person doesn't always have the ability to handle that. So instead of handling it, a person just shuts it off. Oh, forget it. So, okay, I'm not going to think about it. I can't think about that now. Whereas they used to say over that the Alta Slabotka held that the person should focus in the Chastei Hashem, a person should focus in how much good he has, whatever challenges, whatever things, that there is no person that escapes the Ribbono Shel Olam and escapes the reality that life is about confronting challenges. That's the reality. The Krum Hashkafa in the culture in which we live, which preaches that you could have a great life, a perfect life, and there are people supposedly out there that live the perfect life and everybody else just wishes and dreams that they could lead a life like that. This is kishvei ha'olam, like the Chof Zavav says. This is kishuf. It's the same way a magician makes it look like he's pulling a magic trick. It looks like he sawed a person in half and he really didn't. So this is the same thing. The propaganda of the world is that, you know, there are certain things that, oh, it's shayach, the American dream, you could have the greatest thing and you'll be doing who knows what. It's not the reality. Nobody escapes the challenges. Every person has challenges in their own way. It's not shayach not to. If a person doesn't have it, then he has to worry. Shem ekibul olamo, the Chazal said, that maybe it's because Hashem's paying him out his olam haba. So the fact of the matter is, there are challenges in life, but with all of that, a person has to focus. A person has to focus on the fact that there was so much good that I received, so many things, so many times Hashem helped me in so many situations. Adheina zaruna rachamecha, so many times that I thought, oh, I'm going under, who knows what's going to happen now, there's no hope for me. And sure enough, somehow, in some way, we've all managed to get to this point, and that's the avoda that a person has to do, bizmanenu. But with all of that, given the fact that it is El, and it is a very hard Elul this year, in my opinion, because of the way it falls out in the calendar. So a little shock treatment, maybe, would be in order. A little something. Not just to shake up the system. So Lamaisa, I saw it's quoted here in the Sefer Aryol from Ableib Chasman, that's out. A quote from the Sefer Yoshua Rabbeinu Tam, I did not have the chance to see it inside. But in the Sefer Yoshua Rabbeinu Tam, written obviously by one of the G'dol Rishonim, says the following. So he says that if a person wants to know where he stands, where do I stand? What type of person am I? Am I a good guy, bad guy? What am I? So listen to this. He says, if a person sees that his tendency is to desire all of the taivas of the world, his netiya, his goal, his yearnings are for wealth, are for enjoyments, yoser me'asher hu nota l'avodas Hashem u'amaisim tovim, more so than it's nota for the avodas Hashem. Okay, brace yourself. Yeda ki hu Russia. The person should know that. You want to know where you stand? That's a Russia. But if a person, on the other hand, is nota to maisim tovim more than to maisim roim, meaning that his netiya, his desire, his drive is to do good things, meaningful things, more than just to have a good time, then yeda ki ola zichron l'tova. That's the quote. That's the quote from the Sefer Yoshua Rabbeinu Tam. That's the quote that Rabbeinu Tam's words. How a person could know where he stands, because again, we have to realize that we live so many challenges in the world, but one of them is that the world is all filled with relativism. Everything is judged on a relative basis, right? I'm a good person compared to my neighbor. Well, it could be, my neighbor happens to be sitting here, but I'm a good person compared to this guy, but this guy may be a creep, so that doesn't mean that I'm a good person. It just means that I'm better than him. Right? That doesn't mean that I'm a good person necessarily. Right? But that's how we make judgments. How does anybody know what anybody else is? What do you base it on? You base it on relative to this, relative to that. That's a terrible, terrible mistake. Because the only true measuring stick is a person has to measure by the Gidrei HaTorah. A person has to look into the Torah and see the way Maisim are judged. And then the person could see, am I good or bad? A person could live in a place where everyone else is now good. So he thinks, I'm the Tzadik Yisrael Olam, I'm the Gadol Ador. Yeah, I say over a maisa I saw. It's a unbelievable maisa. Forgive me for going off the topic, but if you ever saw in the Rav Palm Zatzal in the Haggadah that they put out, I forgot what it was, Mara Cohen, I believe it's called, something like that. They have an interesting story that Rav Palm said over that when he was in his youth, he was born in Europe, but grew up in America. So he remembers going into a shul in New York, and they used to go in. Doesn't say exactly where or when, but it was probably in the 1930s. There wasn't a tremendous amount of great Torah learning taking place in America at that time. And he said that in this particular shul, there was no Rav. They didn't have a Rav, but there was a Balabas who used to sit in the shul, and he would every day between Mincha Ma'ariv give a shir in Chayodim. And he'd give a little shir in Chayodim. He would read from the Chayodim, Halachas that were Nogea. But the thing was that he couldn't decipher very often the Chayadim, when one looks in the old edition especially, the Chayadim, a lot of abbreviations, a lot of Rosh HaTevis. So he wasn't so good at deciphering those abbreviations, but he would skip over them, and hopefully it didn't affect the Pshat too much, and then he would go further, and this is the shir he gave. So, and this went on for a while, and Rav Palm said over that one time he came into the shul between Mincha Ma'ariv, and on this particular day, they were talking, he heard there's a tumult going on, that they're thinking of getting a Rav. So he was thinking, wow, fantastic, Baruch Hashem, they'll have a Rav here. So he said over the story that this Balabas got up, this fellow who used to lead the shir got up, and he was very distressed. And he said, I don't see any reason for this. He said, what do you need a Rav for? He said, you have me. He said, I give a shir every day, a beautiful shir between Mincha Ma'ariv and Chai Adam. And he said, now it's true that I don't really usually know what the Rosh HaTevis stand for. He said, but what, you're going to go and hire a Rav and spend all that money just for Rosh HaTevis? That doesn't make any sense, right? So stick with me. This is what he said. So Rav Palm said over, he couldn't get over it. Like, this is what he thinks. In other words, the milah of a Rav over him is that the Rav knows the Rosh HaTevis. But this is what happens when a person, this is the world. The world is relative. All assessments are made on a relative basis. There's no true measuring stick. So we have to look into the Chazal. You have to look, see, what is the measuring stick? So here Rabbeinu Tam says a very frightening thing. Rabbeinu Tam says that if a person wants to know, where do I stand? Don't look at what your neighbors are doing. Don't look at where you stand compared to this one or that one, your friend or your relative or whatever it is. Here it is. What is Yonatiyah? What am I noted to? What is my drive? Is my drive to have another good time and another good time and another good time? Then I'm off the mark. If my drive is I want to do productive things, then I'm in business. Then he should know that is always a chrono l'tova, that Hashem looks at him favorably. Now, to take this mamish to heart, Rabbeinu Tam said this probably about 800 years ago. So to take it to heart today, obviously there's a tremendous Neskat Nodaris times 1,000 that has taken place in the interim. And especially in our time, we can't take, again, like I said before, if a person cannot look at Maimar Chazal and get depressed. That if a person looks at a Maimar Chazal and gets depressed, then he should know that he's learning from Chavrusa with the Sutton. He's learning Chavrusa with the Sutton, because that is, my Rebbe, again, I quote, remember he used to say all the time that the Sutton's two absolutely most powerful weapons are frustration and depression. Because if you get a person frustrated or you get him depressed, then he breaks down completely. A person could do something wrong and it's chaval, it's bad, he knows it's wrong, but he feels guilty, and if he's still able to control himself and galvanize his kaiches and do something about it, then he's okay. So okay, it's regrettable what he did, but he could be misakin, he'll fix it, he'll do tshuva, it's okay, it's doable. But if a person gets frustrated or if a person gets depressed, he's done. He's done, because then you're on a breakdown. Then a complete breakdown. I can't function. I can't get out of bed in the morning. I can't do anything. And it snowballs. One thing leads to the next. But I'm hopeless. Forget it. We have no hope anymore. So once a person gets into that mode, then he knows that the Sutton has him. So the tachlis in general of a person looking into Musa Sefer, a person looking into Shari Tshuva, look into this, you have to see what can I take from it that will inspire me. The inspiration, especially in our times, where to say that a person, you know, is not going to be interested at all in the Gashmias. We live in a very, very, very Megushim Dika world, a world that's filled with Gashmias, and unfortunately that has broken through the walls of the Klal Yisrael big time. And I know that I don't want to go into details, but I, like many people here, I subscribe to one of the national Frum newspapers, which I pay extra, should be delivered before Shabbos every week, so I have something to look into a little bit, my family, my kids. And all I can tell you is that every time I open, I get depressed. And the reason I get depressed is not because of the news, and it's not because I see pictures of great Gedolim and say, you know, who am I? But from reading the ads. You open up the ads, you see all the things in the world you don't have. Right? And everyone in Klal Yisrael seems to have it, or so it indicates in the ad. Right? And this one proves, and this, and they're not quoting from Yidden who live in, you know, far away from Torah places. This one in this area code, and this one in this area code, and this one in this area code says this thing is the greatest thing. And how could you live without this exotic summer vacation, or without spending this yontif in this hotel, or without the latest gadget, or without the finest cut of meat, or without the finest chassan watch, or without the finest svarim leather bound, or without who knows what kind of gashmias that's all over. So this is something that we suffer from today, terribly. It's broken through because of the fact that l'maisa, the world is a very megushim dika world, and as much as we try, there's only so much we could fight. So maybe it's not a point in pointing fingers and trying to blame this one or that one, but when the world is so intensely into gashmias, it's very, very difficult to withstand. It's very difficult. So sooner or later, it begins to break through. So this is l'maisa, the inspiration that we have to take from this Rabbeinu Yonah. From this Rabbeinu Tam, is that this is where a person's supposed to be at. You know, when it comes Elul, one of the things, as I said before, one of the challenges is, the big challenge is to, a person should even have some sort of heritage, some sort of feeling that maybe I need to change altogether. But then once you get over that hurdle, the next huge hurdle is, how can I possibly change in such a short period of time? And you start thinking, you know, if you want to start looking with a magnifying glass, so okay, this mitzvah I don't do perfectly, and I could do this better and that better, speak less lashon hara, do more chesed, should just not talk during davening, hundreds, learn more, all kinds of things. But overall, I think sometimes it gets lost in the tshuva, is that it's too micro and not, the person doesn't look enough from a broader perspective. Because tshuva is not just making sure that you put on tefillin the right way, and just not making sure that you don't talk during the Kriyas HaTorah. But tshuva a lot has to do very, very much with a person's whole life. Where am I going? What am I doing? Am I in a good way? What is my goal? Today, the Shmiras HaMitzvahs has gotten to the point where you have, in a lot of areas, so many conveniences. You hear stories, people from the older generation, the grandparents of our dar say, I remember when it was so hard Pesach, and it was so hard Shabbos, and it was so hard Kashrus. None of those things are hard anymore. Fakir, the person could go anywhere in the world, and at the push of a button, he could hear a shir from one of the Gedolei Adar on any Sugyan Shas, and could get the glad kosher food, and have everything he wants. So where's the challenge? So the challenge is that with all of that, we get sort of hypnotized into thinking, well, I do all these things so well. But where am I? What are my goals in life? What am I trying to do? Where is my heart at? Am I looking just to keep the mitzvahs as a means of getting from one good time to the next? In other words, yeah, I have to keep the mitzvahs because that's what I learned. So, okay, I'll keep the mitzvahs. But my goal overall is just to go and enjoy life, and I'll go from one station to the next of enjoyment and accommodate the mitzvahs as they come. Or is it that my goal is to be in touch with what's real, to be in touch with what's meaningful, right? To be in touch with the truth in the world. Right? A person comes into Beis Medrash, whether you come at night to learn, or day to learn, or whatever it is, a Beis Medrash is not just a place to learn. A Beis Medrash is a house of truth. Beis Medrash is a house of truth, because it's the only place in the world you're going to hear the truth. There is no other place you can hear the truth. Fakaret, any other place, you will definitely hear the greatest corruption of the truth. Because nobody is interested anymore in meaningful things. There was a time that people used to be idealistic, even idealistic in a bad way, but at least there was idealism, people were striving, there was intellectual idealism, people were different ideas that circulated. There were times when Yidden used to argue whether communism was a good thing or a bad thing. Today, nobody's interested in any of that. They're just interested in having a good time. So this is something that kills us. That kills us because we don't, if this is the focus, this is the seviva that we live in, this is the world that we live in, so a person, his whole life could be lost. Say, well, I keep the mitzvahs. It's not so hard to keep so many of the mitzvahs anymore. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's not nearly as hard as it used to be. There are many, many conveniences. A push of a button, you could get a pop-up sukkah, right? And you could get, who knows, they'll mail you shmur matzah, ta'arba kafas aretz, and who knows what. You could say, you're daven kavasikin with the atomic clock that mamish, only the Rabbanu Shalom knows better than that exactly when the moment is that you'll hit the people davening kavasikin in the times of the Mishnah, and they didn't have watches at all. But Lamaisa today, the Grace of Tzadikim, that we have the atomic clocks, we know exactly the second to daven kavasikin. So we think, we're better than everybody else. The truth of the matter is that a person is judged on three words. A person is judged, the Chazal say, Rachmana Liba Boy. Rachmana Liba Boy means that Yiddishkeit needs a heart. It needs a heart. You have to have a heart. I mean, it's not just about mitzvahs. Not just about keeping mitzvahs. It's about, where am I? What am I doing? What's important? What's real? Am I building? Am I being productive? And on this note, I just want to say over, Chaval, I didn't bring, like, some. Just, I troubled someone just for a chumash. I'm very sorry. I'm sorry, I came off here. But I just want to say over, I say B'Shem Omro, I heard a tremendous vart this past Shabbos. Rabbi Lehrfeld here in the neighborhood said over the name of his Rebbe. He had a very kosh of a Rosh Hashiva of Mordechai Rogau, who was one of the great Talmidim of Baruch Ber, who said over the following Rogoff, I believe is his name, who said over the following Deher on a Rashi that's found at the end of Pasha Shoftim. In the end of Pasha Shoftim, we have the Inyan of the Egla Arufa, person is found dead between two cities, and so forth. So we know the whole process that takes place. It's the very last parasha in Parasha Shoftim. So the Torah says that the procedure of the Egla Rufa takes place in the Nachal Eson. It takes place in Nachal Eson asher lo ye'oved bo. Right? What does it mean in Nachal Eson shelo ye'oved bo? So it's translated here that it takes place, they take it, it go to a harsh valley which nothing could, no work could ever be done in this place. So Rashi says, quoting from the Chazal, Rashi says, Vos epis in Nachal Eson. So he says that the reason, why in such a place? So he says, so Rashi says, because of the fact, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tovo Egla Bashnosa, oh, and the animal that's used in this process is a very young calf. So the Chazal say, Tovo Egla Bashnosa Shel Osa Seperus, let this calf that is so young that it has not produced anything in life, V'titaref B'mokom She'eino Osa Perus, and let it be destroyed in a place which never made Perus, in a Nachal Eson, in a barren land. To be a kapara for this person who was not allowed to produce peris. This is what Rashi says. In other words, the Egla Rufa process took place in a using an animal which had never produced anything in its life, a very young animal, and it was the procedure took place in a location which in which nothing had ever grown, nothing could grow. And the symbolism was because these things have not produced peros, and it should be a kapara for this human being who was killed, who was not allowed to produce peros. So Rav Rogoff asked the Kasha, he said, what do you mean? He said, but that's all fine and good if the person who was killed in this situation was a young child. But the din of Egla Rufa applies no matter how old the person was who was murdered. So let's say the person was 80 years old. So if the person was 80 years old, you would still have to go through this this Egla Rufa process. So the question is, what do you mean? What's the inyan? You're telling me that it's because lo asa seperos. You can't say that about this person. This person is 80 years old. The person may have produced tremendous peros. Right? The greater likelihood is that a person involved in such a situation has produced peros. So an egla bashnasa has not produced any peros. A nachal eson type of land has not produced any peros. But most people have produced peros. So what's the tushto? What's the analogy here? So he said, you see from this, a meridika thing, you see from this that the pshat is that a person's job in life is always to produce peros. A person has to always produce. It makes no difference. There are people who think that, well, when I was younger, I learned in yeshiva, and you know, those were my glory years. Oh, I remember I used to sit and learn in those days, and I heard beautiful shiurim and shmuzin, and what about now? All right, now I've moved on. It doesn't work that way. A person has to always produce peros. You can't always produce the same peros. Right? Just like the Matthias in the world. Right? Not everything can produce the same peros. Some trees produce one type, some trees produce a different type. Sometimes a younger one can produce better, older one can produce other ones. But there's always peros to be made. And what the Chazal is saying over here is a very strong word. What the Chazal is saying is that the avla of any person who was killed is that it makes no difference how old the person was. But so long as they were living, they could produce peros. And to whatever degree they're not producing those peros, it's as if, in the Torah's view, it's as if they didn't, it's the same avla as if they didn't produce any peros. Meaning that, what do you mean? Of course they produced many peros until now. But what is that? The past is the past, but now is the present. Now is the present. So I have to go fight this, and now you have to do. So you'll say, well, I can't, I'm not in that situation, so what? So you produce a different type of peros. But that a person should be killed, a person, his life comes to an end, means he loses his chiyus, he loses his vitality. What is the vitality of a yid? The vitality of a yid is that he makes peros. He makes peros, what does it mean to make peros? It means that we go by one thing, Mekadosh Hashem Chabaruch. That's what we say, right? Daven Ashkenazi, you have a little bit of an advantage in this area, right? When it comes to Kedusha, right? Nekadosh Hashem Chabaruch. That's the goal. That's the goal of a person. Nekadosh Hashem Chabaruch. And there's a great mistake that is made, very great mistake, that people think that, you know, listen, if I was Kolyum Gaman, if I was sitting and learning my whole life, if I was a Rebbe, if I was a Bachur in Yeshiva, so then I lead a holy life. But listen, I have to go to work. My life, you know, I move past that point, whatever the story is. I'm not in that mode. So I have to go to work. So I go to work, I do mundane things. So I can't do those things anymore. So somehow, this Yetzer Hara makes it that I'm on a different track. This is a very terrible mistake, because the potential for the Kaddish Shimcha Ba'olam today is as great as it's ever been, no matter what you do. Because there is so much Chil Hashem in the world. There's so much Chil Hashem. You see the way people talk. And you see the way people dress. And you see the way people act. And even with the superficial niceness, which the Chazal have told us, right? The Chazal, long ago, Rabbeinu B'chaya says in Parsha Shmini that the Torah lists off the four animals that have one siman of kashrus and not the other. So the Chazir is the only one that the siman shebegoli is good. It's the siman shebenista that's no good, right? The visible sign of Chazir, a pig has split hooves. It doesn't chew its cud. So Rabbeinu B'chaya says that the four animals that the Torah lists are parallel to the four goliaths, the four exiles that the Jewish people will go through. And the goal is the last one that's listed in order. And the Chazir, which is the last one listed, is the current goliath that we're in. The current goliath that we're in is the goliath of the Chazir, because in so many ways throughout this goliath, there's been superficiality where you see from the outside, oh, everything's good, we're all nice, and this and that. But when you look b'fnim, when you look carefully, you see so many problems. You see so many problems. So the result of this is that the ability of a person, the Kaddish Shimcha Ba'olam, of a person today who goes to work and acts with Erlichkeit and speaks with decency and with respect, and a woman, and not just a woman, unfortunately today it's a negev to a man also, who goes and dresses b'tznius in a world that is so void of this. So this is the Kaddish Shimcha Ba'olam. So it's true, I can't produce, it's a different type of Paris. It's a different type of Paris. A person who has the ability to sit in the Beis Medrash and learn, obviously, this is the Shifti Beveis Hashem, Mikol Yimei, that's what David HaMelech said, is my one request. Of course that's a tremendous thing. But a person should not ever make the mistake of saying that it's that or nothing. And that if I am not, for whatever reason, privileged, or I don't have the opportunity to do that, that therefore I want a different job in the real world. I live in the world of mud, you know, what can I do? I have to go through the mud with everybody else. If I care, in a world like that, a person has the ability to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim to such an incredible degree. To be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, a person goes and goes B'derech HaYoshar, you could be a walking Kiddush Hashem. A person could be a shining example of Kiddush Hashem, just the way a person works in the workplace. It's not sitting in a Beis Medrash, but I'm working in the workplace. But people see me. They know that my word is a word. I tell them I'm going to do something. I'm going to do it. I'm honest. I'm not erulich. I'm not going to stab them in the back. I'm not going to take advantage of them. This is tremendous Nekadosh Hashem Chabon. These are the payers that a person could make, no matter who they are. But this is what a person has to be sensitized to. This is what a person has to be sensitized to. A person has to realize that as much as the world is... We don't know, because none of us lived really in a different world. So you know, everyone says the world's crazier than ever, but how does anyone really know that? But kafi hanira, I mean, it is within the ability of the human imagination. It's hard to imagine you ever had a crazier situation than you have today. It's like the Eibishter to let the Satan push all the buttons at the same time. You know, like in every door, okay, you could push one or two. You know, like a kid sits by a piano, you know, and it bounces down on all the keys. You know, that's where we're holding. That's where we're holding right now, where everything is an assignment. Everything is an assignment. There's Bechir. Never in the world was created that a person should be Bochur B'tov. There was never a situation where there's Bechir on everything. There is nothing anymore in the world that's unthinkable. There's nothing other. Think about it. What's unthinkable? There's nothing unthinkable. Every Avera is within reach. It's doable today. It used to be there. A lot of Averas people didn't do. They didn't have the Shaykhs to do it. It wasn't possible. You couldn't do it if you wanted to. So Mameli didn't think about it. That wasn't a sign of Tzidkus. That wasn't a sign of Tzidkus. The Tzidkus is when you have the challenge. And now what do you do? Right? That's the Bechira. So that offers us a great opportunity, because since everything is haywire, everything is upside down, everywhere you turn there's madness, so more so than ever before, a person has the ability to be Mekayim Nekadosh Hashem Kabbalah. A person could be a walking Kiddush Hashem, a person, just you won't know it. You won't know it, B'shas Maisa, but this is the reality. I always say over, the Chazal say, it's brought in the Medrash and Tillim, the Chazal say, by the Kriyas Yamsuf, we say in Hal, Hayom Rav Hayonos, Hayad is speaking about the Kriyas Yamsuf, that the Yam saw and it split. What did the Yam see? Ma Ruah, Chazal asked. So the Chazal say, Ruah Aronah Shel Yosef, that the Chazal saw the Aron of Yosef. Because when the Aron of Yosef, and the Yidden came to the Yamsuf, so they needed a miracle of the likes of which never happened before and never happened since. So such a miracle, they think, well, how is this going to happen, right? And we know from the Chazal, nobody could understand the Kol Yisrael Miktanei Amah. They didn't think they were worthy of it. Even the Malachim said to Rabban Shalom, what's going on? What's going on over here? So it was a time of incredible turmoil, not just in what was happening in the events that were transpiring, but in the ruchnius, in the spirituality of the moment. There was tremendous turmoil. So ultimately, how was it that there was such a Shina Ateva, an incredible miracle, defying the laws of nature, that the Am split? So the Chazal say, Hayom Rav Yos Ra Rana Shel Yosef. Why? What's the Aron Shel Yosef? Because the Chazal say, I don't have it in front of me, but the Chazal say that Hashem said to them, the person in that box once ran away. He once ran away. In the face of temptation, he once ran away. So Hashem said to the Sar Shel Yam, now you run away. Run away. Yonos mipnei hanos, the Chazal say. Run away from the person who ran away. This is what the Chazal say. When the Aron of Yosef showed up to the Yam Suf, at that point the water split. If we think about that, Rabosai, who was standing by the Yam Suf? Forget the Aron Shel Yosef. Who else was standing there? Moshe, Aaron, Hur, Yeshua, Miriam, Kolev, the greatest tzaddikim in the history of the world was standing there. And no one of them could pull this off. And not even no one of them could pull it off, but even the cumulative effect of all of them could not pull this off. But Yonos Mipnei Anos, in that box, he's not even alive. But you know who's in that box? The person in that box made a Kiddush Hashem one time. No one awarded him at that moment. When Yosef ran away from the wife of Potiphar, the world did not stop. It's not like somebody came out from behind a bush and presented him with a trophy and said, oh, you have just done the greatest thing imaginable. Congratulations. Media, the press conference, right? Everyone's snapping pictures, right? Go right on to the Yeshiva World News, right? Look at that tzaddik. Look what he did. What was Yosef's reward for this? Yosef's reward for this was very glamorous. He immediately got thrown into jail. And the jails of those times were not exactly like the jails of today. So he was thrown into a dungeon in who knows what types of conditions. This was his reward for what he did. There is the reality of life is that there is no immediate reward. The test of Bechira dictates that Hashem can't reward a person right on the spot. It's not like instant gratification, you know, like you go to an arcade and you knock down the thing, whatever it is, and the tickets start coming out, you know, you get a good ski ball, and all of a sudden the tickets are coming and coming, you get the whole roll of tickets is coming out, right? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in the world. It can't, because then there would be no Bechira. So a lot of times a person does the right thing, and not only is there no reward for it, but sometimes you do the right thing and you think, oh, well, what a fool I was. If I would have done the wrong thing, I would have come out much ahead. Potentially, Yosef HaTzadik could have thought that. Yosef HaTzadik could have thought that. I doubt that he did, but he could have. He could have thought that. But Hayom Rav Hayanos, Yonos Pepnei Anos. So this is it. A person has to say to himself, you have to take the words of Rabbeinu Tam to heart, not to the point of depression, but to the point of inspiration, which is that a person has to ask himself, this is El. El is not just to get your tefillin and mezuzahs checked. That's a nice thing to do in El. It's an old minig and kol kavod. But the reality is that it goes a lot deeper and a lot farther than that. Right? A person has to make a cheshbon. What am I doing? What am I about?
What are my leanings? What am I trying to accomplish? What am I going to be happy with in the world? What do I value? What do my children see from me? Right? It's very hard to person fool their children. Kids very perceptive. They see, you know, it's not good enough that the father writes out a check to a yeshiva or to a kol or something like that. If the person wants kids to learn, he has to learn. And the child has to see the father learning. He has to know that it's chashuv by him. He's giving up a lot of stuff to go to learn. And he could be doing who knows what. And at Shabbos table, a person has to be talking to the Divrei Torah, whatever it is, meaningful things, important things, that this is what should be transmitted. But these are the peiros that a person has to make. These are the peiros. A person has to always produce peiros. There is no such thing. I just recently went away for just a couple of days on a little vacation. So I was on a boat ride, not a cruise, but just a boat that was taken from one place. I was sitting next to the captain, driver, whatever, the guy who was driving the boat. So I struck up a little conversation with him. So I was staying in a hotel where they had this. So I said to him, do you do this all the time? He said, no, I'm just a volunteer. Just a volunteer. I just do a couple of days. I said, oh, interesting, you volunteer to do that. He said, yeah, well, the truth is it gets boring playing golf every day. So Lemaisa, he didn't say Lemaisa, but so I said, okay, so this is what I do, some at a time. Okay, this is the American dream come true. This man was the picture of the American dream. Okay, the American dream is a terrific nightmare. That's the reality. Because the fact is that that is not what it's about. That's not what it's about. A person has to have peiros. A person has to make peiros. And every person can make peiros. But the way to make peiros is that in every day, a person has to assess his situation. Don't bemoan the fact that, oh, well, if only I was doing this, if only I was a rabbi, if only when I was younger I had gone to yeshiva, if only I was learning in Kol, forget it. It's irrelevant. Every person Hashem puts in a situation, he has to assess, what can I do in this situation? So what can I do in this situation to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim? But that's the Mekadosh Shem Chabon. That's the yisod that a person has to take. That's the yisod. That's where a person can make a very big change in El. It's very hard if I'm used to talking in a place in davening where I'm not supposed to talk, so it's wrong, I'm not condoning it, but it can be very hard to change a bad habit. It can be very hard to change certain things. Yeah, a person speaks Lashon Hara, unfortunately, we get into it, it's very hard. Very hard. Again, you have to try whatever you could, but the reality is that alone is not the test of El. That's not the challenge of El. The challenge of El, a person make an assessment, where am I? Where am I? What am I doing? And if my life has gone off course, which it could, okay, if you've ever had the experience, as I once had recently, okay, I'm not the most organized person in the world, as you can see, I got up without chumash to speak, and Lemaisa, recently, my car was parked at a certain location, and someone came over to me and said, you must immediately go to a mechanic and get 4 new tires. Okay, so I said, and he said, if you don't have the money, I'm going to lend it to you. This is what he says. I couldn't understand. What is he talking about? So I went back and looked at my car, and the truth is, all 4 tires were shredding on the edge. He says, it's a constant fascist to drive your car. So he was right. So it was expensive, but I had to get new tires. Now, why am I saying this? Because, how did that happen? Because a car needs an alignment every once in a while. It needs an alignment. Right? And if you don't have it aligned, you can have the best tires and the best car, but it happens. You go over a bump, you go into a little bit of a ditch, or this and that, and the other thing, the alignment gets knocked off. And so it is, if it happens with a car, it's a car chatzir to a person also. A person also needs an alignment. Person needs an alignment. It happens to everybody. The finest car, you can drive a Mercedes, you can drive a Rolls Royce, it needs an alignment every so often. It needs an alignment. If you don't have an alignment, you'll get the same schmooze that I got from this person. Go look at your tires, right? Because that's the reality. So this is where a person has to use the L. A person has to go for an alignment. Alignment. A life alignment. It's not just on the micro. It's not just on the this action should, okay, I have to speak a little less Lashon Hara, I have to be a little more careful when I put on my tefillin, I have to, tzitzis, whatever it may be. A person has to assess where he's at. And I just want to end, I know it's over the time, you remind me, I say over a vart I heard, again, heard from my Rebbe years ago, which I think a very, very powerful vart, which a little bit could help us in our times also. The Mishnah says, in Maseches Yuma, I apologize, I know it's late, there are 2 more minutes. The Mishnah says the following. The Mishnah in the first paragraph of Yuma describes that the Kohen Gadol on the night of Yom Kippur, so they didn't want him to go to sleep, should potentially become Tameh, so they would do everything in their power to keep the
Kohen Gadol up. So it says that if the Kohen Gadol was able to learn for himself, the Mishnah says if he could learn for himself, so he would learn for himself. So it says, v'imlav, but if not, Talmid Chacham Darshan Lefanav. Talmid Chachamim, he would have, not always, and especially in time of Second Base of Mikdash, not always was the Kohen Gadol a scholar. So therefore, they would have other people would come and learn with him. Ubameh HaYukarin, what would they learn? Says the Mishnah, Be'iov, Be'ezra, Ubedivrayon. They would read from three selections from the Tanakh, Iov, Ezra, and Divrayon. Why these things? So just to make it short, so in the Tiferes Yisrael, Perish here in the Mishnah, he says an amazing thing. He says, why Ezra? What's so special about the Sefer Ezra? So he says that the Sefer Ezra was read because Bikshu l'rachich l'vavov l'hargoshosav, that they wanted to soften his heart. Lachshov b'kama omel v'yagia v'oni banu es hamikdash. That they wanted to impress upon the person reads the Sefer Ezra, and it means also Nehemiah. You read there, you see all the struggles that the Jews had, the people who came back to Eretz Yisrael, the Shivas Tzion, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, so they were living, it was a very bad matzav, they were poor and they were under attack and all kinds of difficulties and challenges. So it's described there in the Sefer Ezra. So he says, the Tiferes Yisrael says that this was gut-wrenching, it was like heart-rending, that the Kohen Gadol should hear that so much sacrifice went into the Beis HaMikdash. And through hearing that, he would get chizuk to understand how careful he has to be in the avoda that he's about to do the next day on Yom Kippur. In other words, that the night of Yom Kippur, he would hear how much Mesiras Nefesh was involved in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, so that he should take to heart that I can't let those people down. Those people, my forebears who lived a few hundred years ago, but it was so hard for them to establish this, and now my job is to keep it going. I have to do the avoda for the Klal Yisrael, the key avoda of the year on Yom Kippur. I can't let them down. So what we could glean from this is how powerful this type of emotion is in a person. In other words, there are a lot of other things in the Torah that are inspiring. You could have read to him from the Saras HaDibros, you could have read to him from the Tochacha, you could have read all kinds of things that would shake a person up. But Lamaisa, one of the things that apparently is a very strong motivator in a person, is what the Chazal are telling us, is that some people before me were so Mosa Nefesh, I can't let them down. In our generation, Rabbi say, we live in a world where we are reaping the rewards of the so many people who were Mosa Nefesh in the previous generation to establish Torah in this country. Right? There was a time that everyone knows that in Europe, you know, the years before the war, even when the clouds of war were beginning to gather over the Klal Yisrael, the option of moving to America was unthinkable to many Yidden. I happen to be privileged. I have a shtickle kesher with this Adam Godel in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yitzchak Rudzinski, whose father was the Mashkiach in the Slabodki Yeshiva, his brother-in-law Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who was angry at Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky when he picked up and moved to America. He said, "How can you do this to your children?" There was a time that it was considered unacceptable and unthinkable for a Yid to move to America. Today we come to America and you see every city you go to, Baruch Hashem, you see some built up with Kohelim and Yeshivas and Beis Yaakovs and all kinds of things, a tremendous organization, infrastructure, everywhere you turn. And to the point that we're already, in a certain sense, the spoiled child of that generation, because all the hard work, all the Mesiras Nefesh, all the losing your jobs because of Shemiras Shabbos, all the Mesiras Nefesh for Kashrus and all the other mitzvahs, we don't know from it. So we kamat don't know from it. And because of that, so we live the good life, we reap the rewards. But a person has to say to himself, how could I let those people down? Honestly. Can any person really look in the mirror and say that my success, whatever atzlacha I've had, is due to myself? How do you know that? Maybe it's because you had a great-grandmother in Russia or in Morocco or who knows where in the world that was crying at night saying tilim that her grandchildren should be from, that her great-grandchildren should be from. And maybe the same way that if you would have taken a poll at the Kriyas Yamsuf, who's responsible for this?
So what would have been the number one answer? Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish Elokim, right? Of course, he could be Paul such nisim. But that wasn't the right answer. The right answer was that it's not because of Moshe, it's not because of Aaron, it's because of Yosef. So it's the same thing we have to say to ourselves today, right? We are the beneficiaries, but you have to look back. We wouldn't be here without people's Mesiras Nefesh. So now the next step is we have to ask ourselves, are we letting these people down? Or are we a nachas to them? Is the life that we're leading what they were hoping for? Those tefillahs, that mesiras nefesh that they were hoping for, a greater day for their children, a greater Yiddish day for their children, a greater day that their children should be able to go to yeshiva and go to good schools and learn the Torah and the truth and all of that is coming from them. Are we a nachas to them? Is what we're doing an achas to them? One day we're going to meet up with these people. Are we going to be able to look them in the eye and say, I kept it going? Or is there going to be a sense of busha? Is there going to be a sense of, boy, with all the mysterious nefesh that you did, once you made it easy for me, you know what I did? Ay, ay, ay. This is the message that was delivered to the Kohen Gadol. And this is what we have to take to heart also. In our times, we have to take to heart, we live in a world that's out of control, completely out of control, but a great motivator is for a person to look inwardly and say, I don't live in a vacuum. I didn't come here by myself. Whatever I am today, I have a yichus. And even if a person says, well, my yichus is disconnected because up the ladder, you know, not everybody was observant and there were people who weren't so, you know, Jewishly involved and so forth, but go further back. That was just a lapse. Keep going. Go back further back than that, and you'll hit back onto the same trail that others hit onto. We have to ask ourselves, where do we stand today? What are we doing? Who are we? This is Elul. Am I making Paris? Am I going forward? Am I fulfilling the ultimate charge of a Yid, Nekadosh Hashem Chabolam? Am I doing it as best as I can? Every person can do it, no matter who they are, no matter what they are, no matter what you do. Every single person has the ability to fulfill this. This is something that if we take to heart, we can inspire ourselves, we can go into the Yom Nerum with a good feeling that I am, as Rabbeinu Tam says, a person who will be mouth as the Karan Latova, because of the fact that the Rabban Shalom looks at me and says the ultimate compliment, he's a good guy.